Hi, welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. On this week's episode, we have our weekly check-ins. We have a very special interview with pediatric geneticist Susan Winter, and we wrap things up with our BFPs and BFNs. Let's get started. Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 35 of Big Fat Positive. Hey, Laura.
Hi, Shauna. How are you doing?
I'm good. Good, good, good. All right. Let's start off with our weekly check-ins. What do you have going on?
Well, you know what? I actually forgot to check in about something ridiculous last week that I want to make sure I talked about, mostly because I want to post the pictures on Instagram and give some context.
Oh, okay.
So do you remember how a couple of weeks ago my BFP was Rent the Runway because they had maternity styles?
Yes.
Yeah, so I fucked up and I forgot to cancel it.
Uh-oh.
In time. So I had an extra month that was ending last week. And, you know, they have maternity styles. They don't have like post C-section styles.
Is that not a big market for clothing designers?
It's not really. So I didn't know what to do. And then I had this idea, which was I was going to go on Rent the Runway and I was going to rent the most expensive dress and jewelry I could get and take an insane photo shoot with my newborn baby.
I love that idea. Oh my gosh.
Well, the photo shoot, I guess, wasn't so insane because it was like, the baby's happy for 2 seconds. Let's take a photo. But I do think it's ridiculous because I'm sitting in my kind of messy nursery and I have this like $1,200 dress on that was actually pretty gorgeous. And
can you describe it for us?
Yes. It was like a silk brocade and it was like dark greens and blues, and it was a very deep V, and I couldn't quite zip it up all the way in the back, but you can't tell in the photo.
Photo magic,
and it's a deep V, which really is helped when you're breastfeeding. Like the deep V works when you're breastfeeding is what I'm saying. You got the cleavage there.
Yes, it's appropriate for a baby shoot.
It is. So yeah, it was pretty good, pretty fun, and I got to wear it for like 5 minutes and then send it back. But I think it'll be worth it. And we're going to post it on our Instagram so you can see what it looks like.
Awesome. I'm excited.
Yeah. But then, so that was last week. And then this week's been pretty much just business as usual. Corey went back to work, though. So that's been interesting. It hasn't been that hard, though, because I have my mom here, which we will talk about more in detail in a couple minutes because she is our special guest for the second segment. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I haven't had to be fully thrown into the fire of parenting alone all day yet. So we'll see what happens next week. But otherwise, yeah, we're doing that thing where we sleep and we eat and we sleep and we eat and we don't sleep and we eat. So
I'm glad you're getting the eating in. That's important.
Well, he's getting the eating in. Sometimes when I get the eating in, I eat a lot.
Oh, you mean the baby. I was just imagining you guys just frozen pizzas, then taking a nap, then Chinese food.
I told the baby that he doesn't eat if I don't eat, so.
Good point. Yes. Gotta get those extra calories. Yeah. That's what I keep telling myself.
Oh, and I should say he was 3 weeks this week, so I forgot to say that at the beginning. But
do you have any follow-up on how his sleep is? Because I know last week BFN was sleep and you were struggling
with that. Correct. Yeah, so it's been all right. Here's the thing. So he's been sleeping fine in his bassinet the first 2 times you put him down, and then like the third time he's done with it. So I have been following the safe sleep guidelines until about 5 a.m. and then throwing them out the window and doing my best, what we need to survive and have a baby that's rested and have a me that's rested.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so I kind of childproofed the bed a little bit as best I can. You know, I took off the foam topper, like the memory foam topper off our bed to make it like a nice firm surface and got rid of our big duvet. And so about 2 hours a night, he's joining me in the bed, which I know is controversial, but it might not last very long because we have a snoo coming on Sunday.
Oh, you do?
We do. I jumped on that when you told me last week that, you know, where to rent it from and that you were actually liking it now. I decided it was worth a try. So
cool, cool, cool. Well, stick with it because, like I said, I had a BFN with it the first week, but yeah, it's come around and she's really enjoying it. And I need to knock on wood so hard right now, but I want to tell you that the last 2 nights she slept 5 hours in a row.
What?
And then gotten up to eat, and then we put her back down. And
that's awesome.
So it's just like, it's been wonderful these last few nights. So fingers crossed it helps you guys too.
Oh, I really hope so. Yeah. Anyway, I'll check in with that when there's more to check in about. What's new with you?
So my baby is 7 weeks old, and I just feel like there has been so many things that happened this week, but I'm only going to check in on a couple of them. First, remember I was taking that prescription Reglan for to increase breast milk?
Oh yeah, the Galactagog.
Yes, a Galactagog prescription. And I had said back then that like one of the side effects is possible depression because it's a dopamine blocker or something like that. And so I was keeping my eye out for that. And I never had like a deep depression or anything. But I was starting to just feel like, I don't know if I'm like as connected to my baby as I was kind of hoping, or like as much as I was to my first kid at this point. And feeling just a little bit despondent and stuff. So I was like, I feel like a breastfeeding is going a lot better, and I'm going to try to quit this medication and just see how it goes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I weaned off it after like 3 days or something, and I just feel great.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I feel really happy, and like my love connection with my baby came back like instantly. I think it was worth it to take it for a few weeks because it increased my supply and got my baby gaining weight.
Yeah.
Which is what I really needed. So the side effect of mild depression was worth it, but I do feel better. And so I just wanted to report that I'm off my Galactagogs. So
that's there
we cool.
Go. You graduated. I feel like also not having any sleep, it's so hard to separate, you know, depression as a side effect from depression because you're not getting any sleep and your baby isn't gaining weight and all that stuff. You know what I mean?
Yes, that is true. And also it reminded me of something our friend Jen has always said, like when she was in the thick of it, a friend reminded her like the first 6 weeks are awful. That's just how it's supposed to be with a baby. Like the first 6 weeks are really, really hard. And then like you kind of come out of the fog, the baby starts smiling and things get better, and almost like clockwork. I don't know if it lined up with the Reglan getting off it or just that timing, or like you said, the sleeping, it all just kind of like lifted a little bit this week. And yeah, I feel like I'm coming out of the fog a little bit and I feel good.
Oh, that's
great. I feel
great.
Good. Yay.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
You deserve it. It's been a long time coming, I feel like.
Yeah. But, you know, it's like, it's true. It is. It's just really challenging in the beginning. But there is a light at the end of the tunnel. And it is so lovely to have that baby smile and laugh at you. And it gives me life.
Yeah. My guy is starting to kind of look like he's smiling at you, but we haven't gotten to like confirmed, you know, like a confirmed smile. You know, it all could be coincidence, but it is really fun when he smiles, even if it's just gas.
Exactly. Bring on the gas smiles. All right. Well, that's it for me. Should we move on to our interview?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it right after this quick break.
Laura, we recently had our moms on the show, and it was so fun hearing their stories from the past.
I loved hearing what they had to share about their experiences being pregnant and having young kids, but you know they have so many more amazing memories and stories to share.
Yes, and that's why StoryWorth is such a wonderful gift for the mother figure in your life. It's a way to capture those stories and memories for years to come.
And what better time to give StoryWorth than for Mother's Day, which is right around the corner. Right now, our listeners can save $10 off your first purchase by going to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
Here's how it works. Each week, StoryWorth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, such as, what is your favorite memory of your parents?
All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter.
You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know, or be surprised by stories you've never heard before.
After that year of fun, StoryWorth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come.
I gifted StoryWorth to my mom a couple years ago, and her hardcover book is a special memento on my bookshelf that my girls and I love to look through.
My mom did one too, and included lots of pictures from her childhood, which Sebastian and Augie love looking at.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. StoryWorth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
That's StoryWorth.com/BFP to save $10 on your first purchase. There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. No complicated routine, no multiple step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
Absolutely. That's why we have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best.
The secret to OneSkin's success is their proprietary OS1 peptide, which switches off the aging cells and has been clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier and improve skin health markers.
For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code BFP when you check out at OneSkin.co.
One of my favorite things about OneSkin products is how easy they are to use. I swear, I've seen skin routines with like 20 steps, but not OneSkin. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily.
We aren't the only ones who love OneSkin. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
My skin tends to get really irritated this time of year, but since using the OneSkin face supplement every day, my skin feels calm and healthy. I've also been using the eye topical supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co.
That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, I will be the first to admit that I don't always prioritize my own wellness. With kids and work, it never feels easy to fit in taking care of myself. But with Allo Moves, I find it easier than ever to do so.
Same. With the Allo Moves app, everything I need is in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, and so much more.
If you're curious what Allo Moves has to offer, visit allomoves.com and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and 20% off an annual membership.
I love that I can easily find a class that's perfectly suited to my interests and ability level. They offer classes from beginner to advanced, and all classes are on demand, so you can fit them into your busy schedule.
They have high-intensity classes if you're looking to get in a good sweat, and low-key mindfulness classes if you're looking to get centered. They even offer help with sleep, which we all know is crucial for moms.
Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Allo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer.
One thing I really like about Allo Moves is that they create themed playlists, so it's easy to find content on the areas you're interested in. One of my favorite playlists right now is called Meditation for Productivity.
Ooh, I love the sound of that one. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code BFP. allomoves.com, code BFP.
All right, so our special segment this week is actually a guest interview, and it's a very, very special guest interview for me because it is my mom. Mm-hmm. Dr. Susan Winter is what other people call her. She is a pediatric geneticist, amongst many other things, which she can tell you. And she's been here with me for a month, as I've been saying. She's leaving me on Sunday.
But, oh, that went fast.
I know. It went really, really fast, but... I've been very grateful to have her here. But anyway, we're here to ask her about her, not just her expertise in my baby and her adorable grandson, but her expertise in all babies, especially ones who are not genetically typical.
Well, genetically challenged.
Genetically challenged. So welcome, Mom, Dr. Susan Winter.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
And I just wanted to say that it's been delightful to hear the podcast, and I'm so proud of my daughter, and I love my grandson. But, you know, basically, I thought I should talk about some things relevant to all of you listening with your little babies. When you have them at the hospital, there's a little blood test they do on them. They take them off and they stick their heel and they get some blood.
I remember that.
Yeah. And it's kind of, it can be a little traumatic. I think I knew what was going on with, it's called newborn screening.
It is.
A newborn screening test. And for people who have recently had babies or had them, you know, in the last, what would you say?
The first newborn screening test started around the late 60s.
Oh, wow.
1964 in California.
Wow.
But just for two diseases at that time.
What, do you know what the diseases were?
Yeah, phenylketonuria, which is a disease where children can't handle protein well.
Also known as PKU.
PKU. Or, yeah. Mm-hmm. And the other one is galactosemia, where mom's milk with the lactose in it is poisonous to the baby. They can't handle the galactose, and it makes them deadly ill.
Wow.
Oh, that would be terrible.
Yeah, we have to, when we get a presumptive positive. So what happens is your baby gets tested, usually before 6 days of age. That's the law. And the baby has to be at least 12 hours old. Mm-hmm. And then we send all the tests in California go to a state laboratory that runs the studies every day of the week. And should there be abnormal results on any of the tests, results are called immediately to the newborn screening centers. So the newborn screening tests that they do is to detect diseases that could cause a life-threatening situation or long-term a problem with general health or intelligence. And the test went from two diseases in the 60s to more than 60 diseases now.
60?
Yes, because...
Wow.
What's happened is since the 60s, the 1960s, we've learned a lot about the causes of, for instance, SIDS. And over 5% of the sudden infant death children were found to have a fatty acid oxidation defect, which means that when they were hungry and not getting enough food, they break down fat, and that fat can't fully break down. Mm-hmm. And that product that's basically the ash of unburnt food is toxic and can cause these babies to pass away.
Mm-hmm.
So this was a big push by many geneticists and pediatricians across the country to get testing for these fat oxidation defects so that we wouldn't have kids with SIDS. And that resulted in the ability to test for a whole lot of diseases because of the technology. So we test for a lot of defects in the way a baby takes regular milk and uses it to grow. There can be a glitch in any one of the steps all on the way. And those glitches each have a unique disease with them, and many can be life-threatening. The other thing the blood test is used for is to detect sickle cell anemia, mm-hmm, and other anemia diseases like thalassemia, which afflicts Mediterranean people. And then there is also testing for severe combined immunodeficiency, the so-called bubble babies.
Oh.
We're also testing for diseases that have storage problems where over time a chemical doesn't break down in the body and it builds up and can cause damage that's gradual. And we can now treat those diseases, so we're testing for those. And the list of diseases that are tested for are growing every day. And the amount of patients that are helped is very, very high. The most common disorder is hypothyroidism, where the thyroid is not formed in the baby. And that disorder is completely treated with just a simple amount of thyroid every day, and those babies are all perfectly normal.
Wow.
So we're preventing diseases from killing or hurting children, and it's a very rewarding practice. The hard thing is, you know, you have a young mom who just gave birth to a baby, or an older mom, doesn't matter what age, and dad. And you call the family up and you tell them your daughter could have a rare disease of fat oxidation. And they don't know what you're talking about. And they have to bring the baby to you, usually at 3 or 4 days of age. Mm-hmm. My center in Fresno covers the Central Valley from Sacramento all the way down to Bakersfield. Mm-hmm. And we have to see these babies. And the families, you know, just had a baby and they have to get in a car and they're panicked and crying. And it's a very, very stressful time for the families. So our goal is to make them, you know, relax, to tell them how wonderful the newborn screening is, that it picked the disease up before the babies used to get a life-threatening disease, and now we can have a healthy baby. And we spend hours in the clinic with them. Often they have to go home with a special formula. Mm-hmm. The galactosemic babies can't drink mama's milk, so we stop them right away. When we get a positive result, we call the mother and tell them to stop breastfeeding. So it's very hard. Mm-hmm. 1 out of every 10 turn out to be really positive. Oh. So a lot of people are put through a lot of grief for no reason.
Oh, so only 1 in 10 are
basically
truly
about
positive.
1 in 10 are okay. Really oh, affected.
So
the ones that are called to me, we're refining that. We're doing the normals better. It's getting less, but still, you have a lot of people where you can tell them at the end of it, your baby doesn't have the disease, which is reassuring, but you've also created a real stressful situation during a time of stress already.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like it would be better. It's better to overcatch than undercatch, though, right? These situations.
The worst mistake would be a false negative.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's because it seems like before all these diseases were being tested for, what would happen was you would end up seeing a baby, depending on the disease, much later down the line when they were becoming symptomatic and maybe had already had brain damage or
right.
life-threatening.
Yeah. Generally speaking, before newborn screening, I practiced for many years before they began screening for the fat oxidation defects and the other metabolism problems. I would be in the ICU every day, almost seeing a one-year-old or a two-month-old in severe life-threatening crisis, often not making it. And my job was to try to figure out what the disease was, which oftentimes I could figure out. But instituting treatment after a child has had a major decompensation, or in other words, a major illness from the disease, usually their IQ, their intelligence is about half what it would have been.
That's
so
amazing.
We are preventing a lot of intellectual disabilities, and these diseases are now becoming livable.
Mm-hmm.
And the parents have children, although very fragile and still needing to come to clinic all the time and eating special foods, the children are developing like all the other children in their lives and having the ability to go to school and run and play. So it's extremely rewarding to have a program like the California Newborn Screening Program.
And is this in all the, like, is it across the country or?
Newborn screening is done in every state. Each state has a separate jurisdiction over it so they can decide different diseases.
Mm-hmm.
There was a national committee set up that is now recommending what screening tests should be on a screening panel. And most states are now going with the recommendations mm-hmm. of the national panel. That is a panel, genetics and geneticists, pediatricians, metabolic specialists, who all are making sure that we're screening for diseases that do have a treatment and where the treatment makes a difference.
Are these things that are different that would show up on the non-invasive prenatal test?
They're very different. The non-invasive prenatal test is looking at the chromosomes.
Mm-hmm.
Your chromosomes are in your cells, and in the nucleus, there's 23 pairs, and they have all your nuclear genes. So each chromosome has about 1,000 genes on it. Those tests are looking for extra chromosome material and missing chromosome material.
Okay.
The genes themselves are not being looked at. So what I was talking about with newborn screening is every one of those disorders are due to a single gene mistake.
Oh, okay.
And so very often they're due to the mother carrying a gene with a mistake in it and the father carrying a gene with the mistake in it. Mm-hmm. They match on that one gene. There's 23,000 genes or more, and they just happen to match on that same gene. And the baby gets it in a double dose. Mm-hmm. The mom and dad are fine because they have a normal gene partner. The diseases come about when both genes are not normal. There are other forms of inheritance, but this is the commonest form. It's called autosomal recessive inheritance. And people will come and say, but there's no genetic disease in my family. And I say to them, you carry and I carry and everybody in this world carries at least 30 abnormal genes with mistakes or mutations in them. Mm-hmm. And those mutations, if they're in the same gene pair, you get a disease.
Is there a way for the parents to test themselves ahead of time? Like if they're worried about having a baby?
Yes, there is. So as you mentioned, the non-invasive prenatal screening, that was chromosomes. Mm-hmm. But you can also get carrier screening for diseases. And there are many, many prenatal panels. Laura did one.
I did one. I did a very...
At the time, it was the biggest. It's now been usurped.
Oh, of course.
Each company, the minute a company says they've got the most diseases, another one comes on. But, you know, up to 300 diseases are looked at for carrier status. So looking for diseases that both mom and dad are carrying the same disease. So Corey and Laura had the testing. And although we found some of the genes that they carry, fortunately, Corey's gene mistakes didn't match Laura's. For sure, Laura's little boy is probably carrying some of those genes, but we know before they had him that he didn't get a double copy of some of these bad genes. Oh. Now, these panels don't look at all your genes, but they look at the most common ones, and especially looking at the ones on newborn screening panels. So they're another way to reassure yourself. Not all insurance companies will pay for it, mm-hmm. but certainly if there's a family history of any diseases, you should always ask to have a genetic counselor or a geneticist be consulted for, and that you see them and you talk over what tests are options.
Mm-hmm. I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it that the non-invasive prenatal test is generally given to women over age 35? Like what happens that makes them more, I don't know, susceptible to problems, I guess?
Exactly. Well, it's always been known that Down syndrome, for instance, which is an extra number 21 chromosome, mm-hmm. that disorder has a much higher incidence in mothers who are over 35 years of age. And the older the mother gets, the higher the risk of having a Down syndrome. So the question then comes, why? Mm-hmm. And the reason probably relates to the fact that women have all of their eggs formed, ready to go when they're inside their mother at 16 weeks gestation.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Wow.
And those eggs, not only are they ready, they've already duplicated their DNA and are ready to make what's called the first meiotic division. And they stay stuck with spindles holding them together, ready to split, but frozen at that time.
And just a little background for people who don't remember their high school bio class. You get pairs, right? You have 23 pairs of chromosomes, yeah. And you get one half from each parent. So you get one chromosome, one number one chromosome from your mom, one number one chromosome from your dad. And then if you have Down syndrome, there's been a mistake where you're getting two from your mom probably, yes, and one from your dad. So you
it
have
could
three
be from
of them.
Either parent. It could but be from it's either much parent. More common from the mom. So these spindles are holding these chromosomes, waiting to make the egg with just one set of chromosomes in it, with one of the pair of sets, and the actual split does not happen till the sperm enters the egg.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Uh-huh. So then there's two divisions to make eggs. You end up with four eggs. Three are called polar bodies, and one's the egg that becomes the baby. All of that happens after the sperm enters the egg. So if the egg is old, the older the egg, the more likely there's going to be some mistakes. Those spindles, which are tiny little like hairs, that contract are what pulls it apart, and you know, they're attached to the sides of the cell. And if they break down, the chromosomes will all go to one pole and not split. In that situation, you end up with either an extra whole set of chromosomes, which you can do. And I've seen babies born with extra chromosomes. A complete extra 23 chromosomes.
Wow. So they're trisomy of everything.
Yeah, they're trisomy. They're called triploidy for three triploid of the sets. Wow. Down syndrome is the most common because the 21st chromosome is the tiniest. And it's probably the lightest. So it goes to the pole. It'll not separate as easily because it's so light. Uh-huh. And the older you are, the more likely you're going to have one of these problems where the split won't happen correctly. And that is when you would offer a special test. And so we have to pick the families. Initially, we were doing amniocentesis years ago. And
that's where you take a long needle and stick it
into the abdominal cavity, take off the fluid, grow it over a week or two, and then do the actual chromosome study, looking at the chromosomes under the microscope to see if they're all the right number. That was how when I was pregnant with Laura, I had an amniocentesis because I was 35. And fortunately, she didn't have any problems.
Will you tell them what you did with that for Mother's Day? Was it Mother's Day or Christmas?
Pardon me.
Who you sent the chromosomes to? You don't remember? I'm remembering her life. You told me that's how you announced your pregnancy to Grandma Anna.
Oh, you probably said you sent your the chromosomes. Sent them.
Sent a picture of the chromosomes.
Yeah, your dad did.
Which is a little different than how I announced my pregnancy to my mom.
Laura sent me a strip of where her urine test had been positive. I said, what is this? Oh, she's pregnant.
But of course they were like the cheap Amazon ones, you know? So I like actually hid it behind a photo frame, like behind a photo in a frame, and told her to look behind.
That's right.
So that I could hear her reaction. I said, oh, look behind. I put another photo in. And she says, what am I looking at? Oh!
So that was fun. So the reason why you want to do the NIPS, the blood test, is in older women is because they're at higher risk.
I see.
So, you know, you can do it in any age, but you're doing it on groups that are not at high risk. Whenever you do any test in medicine, there's a chance of a false positive. And that creates emotional, you know, trauma to the individual who gets a false positive result from any test. And so we make recommendations when it's appropriate to do them and when it's not appropriate to do them based on risk assessments.
Okay, so you're saying you might not suggest a younger person do it because then they might get a false positive and it's not worth it to go through that since they're not at
exactly.
risk
anyway. If a younger person has an abnormality detected by either the blood screening tests that the state does or by ultrasound, we will then offer it to them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that, like, the 20-week anatomy scan, they're looking for a lot of the physical markers for stuff.
Exactly.
Like that.
In the detailed fetal ultrasounds done between 18 and 20 weeks, if there's abnormality seen, we will offer either an amniocentesis, which is more accurate because you actually have baby cells you're looking at, as opposed to DNA that's chopped up in the mother's blood that's baby origin. So it's more accurate to do an amnio at that point. But very often the moms don't want to do an amnio. They're afraid of the needle and they're afraid of the risk of a 1 in 200 a miscarrying.
Mm-hmm.
So they very often will opt for the non-invasive prenatal screening. And very often it will give them the answer that they need. And that can be any age, of course, because that's a family or a pregnancy that's been picked out due to screening tests that are abnormal.
Now, what would you say? I feel like there's a lot of people who say, well, I don't want any of these tests because there's no way I would terminate a pregnancy no matter what, which
right.
is, you know, their choice. And but would you tell, like, say that you have a mother, a pregnant woman who has their 20-week scan and there's abnormalities, and she says, well, it doesn't matter because I'm not going to terminate either way. Would you say it still might be worth it to get the test so you can be prepared? Like, what would you say to a mother like that?
I think, first of all, you offer all the options to the mother. You try not to influence her thinking, but you do point out to them the advantages of knowing. For instance, say you would not terminate a child with a chromosome anomaly, but knowing ahead of time about it will prepare you for the baby's birth. Baby's neonatal period might be handled differently. If the baby has a disorder that predisposes them to heart disease, you'll be checking the baby's heart. So knowing is almost always better than not knowing. The option of terminating or not terminating, you offer, but you certainly allow them to make that decision. The family is always going to make that decision themselves. But the thing that I point out to them is that I've had many, many mothers who had a baby with Down syndrome who knew beforehand and said they were able to read books about it. They were able to meet other mothers with children with Down syndrome. And they felt that it was a blessing to know ahead of time. And I do share that with them. We'll offer them to talk with parents who've had a similar situation. So they, if they want, we try to give them whatever guidance they want. But if they don't want to know, they don't, you know, that's their option.
Oh man, so I wish we could talk for like 5 hours, but I think that episode might be super long, right, Shauna?
Yeah.
So I think we're going to move on to our final segment just after this quick break.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Shauna, think of all the relationships you have in your life. From parents, siblings, your friends, kids, coworkers, even neighbors. There's a lot of human interaction, which we know doesn't always go perfectly.
Oh, you know I don't have a perfect relationship with my next door neighbor. And I can't change her, but I can work on my own reactions to her and how she treats my family.
Absolutely. Strengthening your own coping skills and setting healthy boundaries in any relationship are important. And therapy can be a great place to work on these types of things.
Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma, although, of course, it is helpful in those situations, too.
I've noticed that doing weekly therapy helps me handle the things that cause overwhelm in my life, like constantly balancing kids, work, and self-care.
I love that therapy helps me have insights about myself that I might not have otherwise. It's always great to get an objective take on what I'm going through.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit betterhelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BFP. Hey, listeners. This episode is proudly brought to you by LolaVie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. You know, hair so iconic, it needs no introduction.
Okay, imagine this. Jen got tired of the same old struggle we all face, choosing between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. With LolaVie, that dilemma is history.
We all put our hair through the wringer. Coloring, heat styling, stress, the list goes on. Over time, it takes a toll. That's why it's crucial to have products that not only repair the look of the damage, but also shield your locks from future harm.
Enter LolaVie's best sellers, the cult classic Glossing Detangler and Perfecting Leave-In Conditioner. These aren't just styling products, they're your hair's new best friends.
And here's a treat for you listeners. For a limited time, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at LolaVie.com. Just use code BFP at checkout. I have been using the Glossing Detangler and Leave-In Conditioner, and I love them. I love how soft and healthy my hair feels after using them.
I love their restorative shampoo and conditioner plus intensive repair treatment. They smell so good, make my shower feel like a spa, and never leave my hair looking or feeling dry.
LolaVie's products are naturally derived in plant-based goodness. No silicone, sulfates, parabens, or gluten, and of course, cruelty-free and vegan.
Unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair at LolaVie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code BFP at checkout.
That's 15% off your order at LolaVie.com with promo code BFP. Please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined.
After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you.
All right, so we are back and we're going to wrap up this episode with our weekly BFPs and BFNs, big fat positives and big fat negatives. And Laura, why don't you start us off?
So I'm going to do a BFN because I feel like it's been just BFPs for weeks and you got to balance things. So my BFN is actually the co-sleeper that we registered for. Mm-hmm. It's the Arms Reach Versatile Co-Sleeper. And it's fine as like
Is that like a bedside bassinet?
It's a bedside bassinet.
So it's not something that goes in the bed on your mattress.
Correct. Okay. It sits next to the bed.
Okay.
And it was really well rated and I thought it was going to be great. And I'm really grateful that my mother-in-law, Sherry, got it for us. Don't take this the wrong way, Sherry. I know you listen. I love you. No, it's just that I didn't know what I'd need. You know, it's first baby, so you don't really realize sort of how things are going to functionally work. And it was a blind spot on my part. And the problem is that the bassinet's fine, but it has a rigid side all the way around. So it doesn't, like a lot of other bassinets will have like a soft part that sort of like, or a part that'll fold down so you can stick your arm in.
Yes.
And like comfort the baby. Mm-hmm. This doesn't have that. And it doesn't go low enough to be like lower than my bed. So in order for me to like reach over, it's called the Arms Reach Co-Sleeper, right?
Arms reach at an awkward angle is what they call it.
But in order to reach my arm out to touch my baby, I have to like reach over the hump and it's very like hard on my shoulder. So, and it's funny because the company Arms Reach, actually all the rest of their co-sleepers have the like panel that moves down. I just happen to get the one that doesn't. So That's my fault.
So where's the baby sleeping now?
He's been in there. It's a pain in the ass to like get him in and out. You don't have to sit up completely to get him in and out of it. And it's just a little bit of a blind spot on my part, but.
When you get that snoo, you're not going to have to worry because that snoo is going to take care of that baby for you all night like a night
nurse. That's right. Night nurse, cheaper than a night nurse. How about I ask my mom? Mom, do you have a BFP or a BFN for us this week?
Well, I have a BFN.
Okay.
This is my first biologic child who has had a baby, and I'm just so thrilled that she is such a good mother.
Oh, but that would be a BFP, I hope. That's a positive.
Of course. I'm sorry. Let me start that over. I have a BFP. I don't know. Because my BFP is seeing my daughter being a mother.
It's very sweet.
That's so sweet.
And she is such a good mother.
Mm-hmm. Except for right now, I'm overfeeding my son because I want him to stay quiet during the podcast. Oh, that's sweet, Mommy. Thank you, Mommy. Mm-hmm. I learned from the best.
Oh.
And then Shauna, what about you? Is it me? Am I your BFP too? Just kidding.
Yes. You're always my BFP, Laura.
Ah, you too, Shauna.
So I have a BFN.
Aw.
And that is dead rats in my baby's closet.
Ew.
Oh my God, you guys. Like a couple weeks ago, we heard like crazy scratching in our exhaust fan over the stove. Like,
oh no.
And we're like, oh my God, I think we have like a rodent. So we called the exterminators and they came out and like just did our whole house, right? Set traps in the attic and did all this stuff. They didn't find that critter in the exhaust fan over the stove.
Gross,
so he
gross.
I know, we should do a content warning for this section.
Ugh.
So they didn't find the guy during their inspection. So he must have gotten in the attic because I don't know if you guys know, but lately I've been recording it like kind of in my baby's closet. Like I set up my mic and like hang blankets around and everything. So I'm not recording in there today. Because I opened the closet door and it smelled like death.
Oh, no.
And I didn't know what it was. And I was like, Steve, can you smell this? He's like, I don't know. Maybe it's just these musty clothes. I'm like, you have a terrible nose. No.
Well, you know, I don't know about you, but I have... Sorry. My mom is now off to burp the baby
that I've just fed
for way too long. I don't know about you, but I have... developed like I still have the like pregnancy super smell. So anyway, but so you smelled it. Gross.
Oh yeah, I was like, that does not smell right. I'm like, what did I put in here? Like, did a dirty diaper get in here? Because this was like a couple weeks after the exterminator, so I was like, no, you know, not, it wasn't even on my mind. And so I let this ride for a few days, Laura. Thank God it was rainy and cold here so that thing did not decompose more. But finally, you know, I was like, had my mother-in-law come in. I'm like, that smells wrong, huh? And she's like, yes, let's call the exterminator. So they came out yesterday and found two dead rats in the attic above her room. So
barf.
Good times. But they're gone now. And, you know, I'll air things out next week. Maybe I'll be back to my very fancy recording spot.
Unfortunately, I know that smell well because we also had rats in our attic when we, like, a couple months after we moved in. But now we have monthly exterminator services.
Yes, it's well worth it.
Yes.
On that note, why don't we wrap things up?
Let's wrap things up. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Yes. We'd love to remind you to leave a rating and a review in iTunes and or whatever podcast app you listen in. We would be very appreciative of that.
And we would love to hear from you. Any questions or comments or what your BFPs and BFNs are? Laura, where can they find us?
We're on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at BFP Podcast. We also have a website, BigFatPositivePodcast.com, where we post our show notes and direct links to episodes.
Big Fat Positive is produced by Laura Bierich, Shauna Maiko, and Steve Yeager.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.